And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I got these for you. What am I meant to do with these?
Lemonade, lemon chicken, lemon tart, lemon cake, lemon meringue, lemon bitters, lemon pudding slice, lemon cream, lemon butter, lemon tea, lemon loaf, lemon jelly, lemon crumble, Marilyn Monroe.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, February 25th. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo.
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And finally, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. How you holding up, J.D., after doing those three amazing, amazing top 75 guests of all time videos that we dropped over the last week?
Yeah, feel great. It was a team effort. I mean, Tass did the front end, which was,
yep.
I don't envy him for going through. That's a lot of footage he went through. So way to go, Tass.
Yeah. Way to go, JD. You taught me what a line cut was, and felt good. There were some great shots, especially seeing the Chargers behind us, especially behind Lee. There was a great shot of a Charger just dangling out on the wall. That was my favorite shot of the three episodes.
Oh, what about when I had like looping earrings they appeared to look like because of my headphones and nobody told me?
Well, you look like my nan, and I thought that's a cool look you got going on. That's how she used to have with her glasses, you know? And I was like,
that's
true.
Right. That's what it looked like. Yeah. In part three, I guess that was happening. Anyway, check those out. Again, Tass did a lot of the heavy lifting at the front, like JD said, and then JD did an awesome job cutting those together and making them really slick. So check out those three videos posted on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, breaking our top 75 guests of all time down 1 through 25, 26 through 50, 51 through 75.
Top 75 games. I'm seeing Lee's legs. That was prominent in episode one.
Whoa.
There's the legs.
There's the point. Here we go.
Look,
and before we get started here, we'd be remiss if we didn't address what is going on in the world right now, because I think I speak for everybody. It can feel weird at times to like talk hoops as Russia attacks Ukraine. It can feel weird, yucky, whatever you want to call it. But No Dunks is a basketball podcast, so if you're in the mood, maybe you're done with the doom scrolling for a second, you want to have some larfs, talk a little hoops, that's what No Dunks is here for. By the way, we also put a link in the YouTube sort of show notes. If you want to help out the Ukraine, click that link and get to work there. But let's talk a little basketball. Let's talk games. Because it was back last night. I didn't really realize when the schedule sort of hit me in the face last night, there were so many games on. I just sort of thought, yeah, it'll be two or three. You know, we'll get the TNT
one warm-up game.
But there was a lot. And we're going to start with DeRozan, Trey, continuing this insane streak that he's on. 37 points last night as the Bulls beat the Hawks.
I don't know what's crazier right now, how many clutch shots DeRozan is hitting or the fact that he's able to keep the wilt streak going. 37 last night for DeMar on 15 of 21 shooting. Incredible stuff. Eight straight games now with 35 or more points and 50% or better field goal percentage. It's a super cherry-picked stat, but like Lee said, if you're cherry-picking against Wilt Chamberlain, pick away, boys! Mm. It wasn't just the game-winner and the game-winning free throw for DeRozan. He also had a shot with about 46 seconds left that brought the Bulls to within one, and then he hit the exact same shot against Bogdanović again. Like, Bogdanović was lucky to not get called for sliding under DeRozan on the first one, yeah. So he slid a little further under on the second one, got called for the foul. DeRozan knocked down the free throw. 5 points in the final minute to win the game and extend the streak. Saw on the Bulls' Twitter today that DeRozan is now on a short list of players to score 35-plus in 8 straight games. Here are the others. Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and James Harden.
Less cherry pick stat, just as impressive.
That's a solid list right there. Yeah. At this point, though, it's like I feel and very confidently expect DeRozan to win every game for the Bulls when it comes down to the fourth quarter. Right. You hear the announcers, they're like, it's DeRozan time. Then he gets the ball, he shoots it, and it's going in. It came down to basically DeRozan versus Danilo Gallinari. Was feeling pretty confident in that one, but that was incredible stuff from DeRozan. 6 straight wins for the Bulls. They've been doing it against pretty easy competition, but you got to beat the bad teams to have a good record. Still in first place for most of 2022. Great start to the end part of the season for the Bulls. I was going to say second half.
Yeah, the home stretch.
I mean, I think they're going to the finals, obviously, so they do have another 4 months ahead of them, but the home stretch, I think that's nice.
It's unreal at this point. I've run out of like words to describe the run that DeRozan's on and the shots that he's hitting and the percentage, the efficiency he's doing at. Because everybody knows, like Trey said, everybody knows, especially in the fourth quarter, we know where the ball's going. We know we're going to run a couple guys at him, and it's still pump fake party. He's completely in control. Yeah. I'll get to my spots, and everything seems to be going in. It's wild.
Yeah, the fourth quarter obviously stands out. I felt a bit sorry for Kevin Knox, who got some burn last night and said, hey, go and defend DeMar DeRozan. DeMar said, okay, I'm just going to get him back to the bench here in about 30 seconds. Yeah. He went back. But the fourth quarter obviously was great, but this was the whole game as well. DeRozan just so many times he got the ball, have a little shimmy, a little shake. He had that sort of Kyrie Irving sort of double fake, if you remember that, against Steph Curry earlier on in the game. And he can just get to the hole anytime he wants. And that's what's good. Now, remember, the Bulls had Zach LaVine out that potentially was for a few weeks. And I don't think they lost the game with him being out. They've won 6 straight here. So that was fantastic. But let's also give some love to Ayo last night.
What a blocker.
For both ends of the floor. Yeah. I thought he really defended Trae Young well, got him into a turnover, blocked a shot late, and just made life very difficult for him. And then had a beautiful step back as well and hit it. And
crossover,
yeah,
that's great.
I mean, he looked fantastic. So if you can get that sort of help from your role players, especially a rookie role player like Dosunmu, the Bulls' ceiling, I don't think they're better than the Bucks.
Yeah.
I don't think, I mean, Philadelphia with the Joel Embiid factor there, I think the Sixers are better. But man, it is really hard to see how the Bulls can't look at those two teams and go, we can take both of these teams. I mean, it's not crazy to say that the Bulls could make it out of the East here.
Well, not especially if DeRozan in any series could be the best player on the floor, even including Giannis and Embiid in any potential series like that, just at the level he's playing right now.
For sure. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, who have you got out of either of those teams, Milwaukee and Philadelphia, who can actually stop DeRozan, really? I mean, it's a Middleton who's going to be on him. DeRozan will take that matchup any day, or it's a Tobias Harris. So it's incredible right now what Chicago's doing. And I mean, the Hawks led this game with just over a minute to go after coming off a terrible start. And then it was Gallinari shockingly doing it. And Bogdanović played well as well.
They actually went at DeRozan, which you haven't seen a lot of teams do this season. Like, they were sort of like picking him out. What teams do to Trae Young on the other side of things, you know, and they were going at DeMar, like, make him play defense. You know, that's still not his strong suit.
No.
Never will be at this point.
Just making him work is what you're trying to do there. Exactly. And the Hawks did a really good job there. But when it's closing time, it's him and Chris Paul. It's like, if the ball's in their hands, that team is almost certainly going to win the game.
Yeah, anything to add to this one?
Well, it stinks for the Hawks that they didn't have DeAndre Hunter at the end of the game. He had an illness, so he was out of the game. That would have been Bogdanović's spot, you know, guarding DeMar DeRozan there with a little bit more length. So that sucks for them, and it sucks that they missed their last 4 shots. They were leading, as Lee said there. They're up 3, and they just couldn't capitalize. So Trey comes down. Ice was against DeMar, and they don't switch, and DeMar's out there on step back. Yeah, short, but they get the ball back, and then a bad shot. And then Trey got to the rim, missed, and then Bogdanović just ISO. So it's... could have gone the other way easily with one make at the end. And the Hawks offense hasn't been a problem this season, but here we are, Eastern Conference finalists of last year, and it sure looks like this team isn't going to get out of the 9-10 matchup. Not even just the 7-8 matchup in the play-in tournament, but now with the Brooklyn Nets coming together, it looks like those top eight are pretty solidified, and the Nets and Raptors are up there at 7-8, and the top six are almost out of the picture, so it's just kind of stinky for the Hawks here that they may end up being in that matchup and then have to go on the road where they are a very bad team. So that's a very unfortunate how this whole thing is playing out. They obviously didn't have John Collins in this game, and that would have been a big factor too.
Yeah, and Trey, bad game. 3 of 17, 0 for 5 from distance, even 8 of 11, missing a few freebies there. One thing with the Bulls, I saw you sort of jokingly tweet about it with a photo of you and Tristan Thompson, but Tristan Thompson, you know, played for Chicago and had a really good game off the bench. He played 13 minutes, didn't miss a shot. He got to the line a lot, missed a couple there, but 6 rebounds as well. 11 and 6, I mean, you're laughing if that's the type of production you're going to get.
Yeah, if Tristan Thompson averages a point a minute for the rest of the season, yeah, the Bulls are looking pretty good here. But he gave the Bulls exactly what they were looking for as a backup big. He's smart, like he knows how to play. Obviously, he's won a championship. He's physical. He's got the size. He hits the glass, and he doesn't need the ball. So anytime he scores, it's kind of like gravy. So yeah, really great game. I've seen a few Tristan Thompson games in the past couple of years. I imagine this is his best game in the past 3 seasons. I don't know if that's true, but like, he was making moves in the half court and dunking off of a drive, like wild stuff. So shout out to the Bulls adding a Canadian boy just to lock things in this year.
Yeah, absolutely revitalized after playing with the Kings this year. You see it with him. You see it with Marvin Bagley in Detroit last night, looking very, very good. Sometimes just a little change of scenery. Yeah, brings out the best in Tristan Thompson, obviously, because he was a starting center on a championship team and he can dunk.
Especially if that change of scenery is getting the hell out of Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, you're on a team that's got real aspirations this season. And I thought in that fourth quarter, he gave them real good energy. That, you know, he's known for his offensive rebounding, his energy, his hustle. That's what they really need, because Vooch, as good as he can be offensively, can be still a problem physically, defensively. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a guy who's got 6 fouls and maybe 15 minutes and he's going to give it everything, Tristan Thompson could be a nice little addition here for the Bulls.
All right, well, let's keep it going. Jason Tatum scores 30 as the Celtics romp the Brooklyn Nets again. I mean, it wasn't that long ago before the All-Star break that they killed them. 129 to 106. Boston looked pretty dominant. They've been awesome since, January, really, late December.
Yeah, the game itself, not much to talk about. Jason Tatum had a massive dunk, beautiful stuff there, but it was a blowout pretty much from the start. Really, it's the story within the teams here. And I'll start with Brooklyn because, you know, Tass sort of mentioned they're getting their guys back. Well, they're still probably a couple of weeks away from getting... certainly Ben Simmons won't be ready for a little bit of time here. Kevin Durant soon.
They're saying Durant potentially next week.
Yeah, potentially.
And I keep thinking today's Monday, but it's Friday. Yeah.
And then even Kyrie Irving may be able to return to the floor too soon if they lift this vaccine mask mandate. Maybe. That's not confirmed, but it certainly looks like things are heading that way. And then they've got Goran Dragic. They've signed him. He's not ready to play. Now, I don't think he's going to have much of an impact, but certainly based on what we saw last night, the team's going to look very different in 3 weeks' time here. So it's really just the Nets. How long can they hold on? How long? They're treading water right now. Are they going to be able to still get out of this sort of play-in situation? Because right now, they're 3.5 back of the Celtics and 2.5 back still of the Toronto Raptors. So the Nets can't really afford to drop too much further if they want to get out of that situation. But if they do, and Durant comes back, I mean, Durant's the one. I mean, all the other guys can be hit and miss. But if Kevin Durant comes back and is healthy, then the Nets are a very, very dangerous team coming out of that potential 7th or 6th spot in the Eastern Conference. So for them, that's great. And for the Boston Celtics, apart from the loss against the Detroit Pistons just before the All-Star game, we won't count that one, they're humming right now. They're playing really good basketball. I mean, again, it's against a team that's depleted, but they pounded them again. As you mentioned, earlier in the month, they did it by 60 points or something.
I turned this game off at the half. It was like a 15-point lead, but it was like felt bigger.
They were never close. Winning,
and the Celtics are playing great. Yeah. They just kicked their ass in the first half.
And so now they're 9 games over 500, Boston. This is quite a surge here. And Ime Udoka, his team, he really focuses on that defense. And that, to me, is the key, because Cavs maybe just starting to slip a little bit here. If Boston can lock in that D, I like the Derek White addition. He came off the bench last night. They're one of those teams that could be a tough out first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Anything to add to the Celtics victory?
Definitely not to the victory. It was a spanker. But the Brooklyn Nets are so interesting in that they're still talking about a championship, and they're 8th in the Eastern Conference. And that would obviously be the lowest seeded team to ever win a championship. And even Patty Mills, even level-headed guy like Patty Mills, saying, I came here for a championship. Once we get our guys together here in the next week or two, They're going to have a bad little run of a schedule these next five games. They're almost like they can't win any of these games. Bucks, Raptors, Heat, Celtics. And that's going to be depleted with a bunch of their guys out. But then they can make a little run, and they are going to be in the playoffs. So this little 16, 17-game window, really that's how many games they're going to have all their guys back. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating watch because they do have, I still think, the best player in the game when he comes back healthy, and Kevin Durant. And so it's going to be a play-in tournament team with the possibility of winning a championship. I mean, it's
so this
it's
is
going to
suck for, like, Trey's Bulls possibly, or, you know, be it the Heat or the Sixers. Like, what you're saying, and I believe you, like, when they get all back there, they're going to be in the playoffs, the Nets are. Well, they're going to probably be the 7th or 8th seed in the end. I mean, maybe, like you said, maybe they go on a real run and get really into it, but it's probably going to be that. So, like, the Bulls could be facing them in the first round.
Tough.
Like, that would suck for them, of course, playing a loaded Nets team at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. The Nets, I just don't know what to make of them at all, because it's like, when are they ever going to have all their guys? It feels like they're going to have all their guys like the week before the playoffs start.
Yeah.
And they have a good chance of figuring it out, because with Kevin Durant on the floor, they're 24-12, but with him missing, they've lost 13 of their last 15. Mm-hmm. So I would say it all comes down to whether or not KD is healthy, if they even make it into the top 6 seeds, because they could easily fall out of the bottom of the playoffs at this point, it feels like.
Do you also consider the Celtics like a part of sort of the elite group in the Eastern Conference? Or are they a tier down still? But what they've done again with that defense, basically being the best defense for the last 2 months in this league, are you buying this? I know they've beaten some crappy teams, but they're a different squad here, and the additions, of course, Derek White, we all love too. So
I think there's a tier one, and then the Celtics are in the tier two.
Yeah,
they can fight against anybody, but I don't think they're an elite.
So they're in the tier in your mind with the Bulls and, you know, Sixers, or I don't really, I guess I'm assuming you have Bucks Nets as tier one, which is crazy.
We're talking about the Nets. The 8 seed. I mean, the Bulls are a lot closer to the Bucks than the Celtics are, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, then the Sixers are joining in, and so are the Celtics, and the Cavs are still young, but yeah, it's open.
Crazy.
Yeah, the Heat, obviously.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the Heat are very close to the top as well.
I mean, again, it's just like, it's going to feel unfair to some of the, like, top-seeded teams in the Eastern Conference. Whoever ends 1, 2, or 3, for crying out loud, are going to have, like, usually we look at that and go, well, that's an easy series win. I just don't think that's going to be the case. There could be an upset or two in terms of just the actual seeding, a 7th or an 8th seed beating the 1st or 2nd seed, especially in the East, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Bulls lost one game, I think, though, to the Nets. It was a blowout in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But that was when they had certainly James Harden play.
They had all three healthy.
Yeah, so that's their best. But that, of course, is now a completely different team without James Harden there. They've got a better defensive player in Ben Simmons, a different offensive player. But the guy just hasn't played either. So to figure him to be able to sort of get into
it's also Ben Simmons. Like, that's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
Think about the last time we saw Ben Simmons playing. He didn't want to shoot in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And now we're like, oh, he'll be back and healthy.
I mean,
championship favorites.
Physically, he could be a good matchup for DeRozan. You know, he's got the size and the athleticism. But again, he's got to get out there and play and get some reps and get some, get some game shape under his legs. So, I mean, you shouldn't fear the Nets. You should feel they're beatable. But of course, the Kevin Durant factor is always going to make things a little bit more difficult.
Well, that's what's so weird, like, in both conferences, really, if you think about it, with the Lakers, because if they have LeBron and AD, you're like, geez, they could probably beat anybody still if those guys are playing at an elite level. Maybe you don't, because they don't have a lot of other talent. But then the Nets are the same thing. With like, if they have their star guys, then I guess my point is, you wouldn't be surprised if they don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They lose one or two of the play-in games. They don't even get in there. Or they win the whole damn thing. Like, it's that wide.
I don't have the Nets as a contender, like a serious one. No, I don't think they can win at all.
Okay, and I guess the Lakers, you don't think that as well.
Lakers, no chance at all.
Vegas still thinks they could, of course.
Yeah, but Vegas,
they just want to take your money.
Exactly. Don't bet, kids, but unless it's a sure thing.
unless you know you're right.
The thing is, I just feel, again, the Nets are going to be a tough team. I don't see them beating potentially the Bulls and the Sixers and the Bucks or the Heat. I just don't see them having that good a run.
And doing it all on the road.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, everyone coming together. They'll be tough. No one's, like, going, yes, give me the Kevin Durant team. But at the same time, you shouldn't fear them. You're just like, this team just hasn't played enough together.
Another game from last night. This one was really entertaining. I hope we get this playoff matchup. D'Angelo Russell scored 37, leads the Wolves past the Grizzlies. 119, 114. What are you laughing at the way I said D'Angelo Russell? It came out of
just
my mouth
the D'Angelo
weird.
Part.
I just said it straight.
The Russell was normal.
Yeah. Great, great game. Trey, get a start on this one. What are your big takeaways?
I don't want to start on this one. I don't want to.
Why?
Starting to be impressed with the Timberwolves. I can't deny it. They had that great win against the Hornets before the break, and this win reminded me a lot of that win because the Grizzlies honestly smashed the Wolves in this one. Like they had 26 offensive rebounds. I think the Wolves broadcast mentioned they had 5 offensive rebounds off of free throw attempts. Like that's wild that happened. Memphis took 40 free throws, Minnesota took 25. Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards scored 27 points on 10 of 30 shooting. Towns barely played in the fourth quarter. I think Ant was 1 for 11 in the game. But Minnesota still scrapped out a win.
Yeah.
And it's all because of D'Angelo Russell. 37 for him, 23 in the fourth quarter. He also had 3 assists in the fourth quarter, finished with 9. It was just pick and roll every single time. And he could get whatever he wanted, whether it be like a sort of weird pick and roll they would run with Malik Beasley, kind of like popping out for a 3. He found him a couple of times. He found Rollman. He would turn the corner and just kind of like fake Steven Adams out of his ponytail. And then it finished with the layup there. He really willed him to victory, and you could totally see the Grizzlies were missing Dylan Brooks, I thought, in this one. Zaire Williams wasn't cutting it. Desmond Bain wasn't cutting it. Ja wasn't cutting it. So incredible win. Incredible win. Incredible clutch poise by the Minnesota Timberwolves and D'Angelo Russell. I can't believe it.
It's true.
They're looking good, though.
And look, before we went on All-Star break, we talked about that one Wolves game where I was getting very upset with D'Angelo Russell. Get the fucking ball to Cat, like Towns. Remember that game?
Yes, I do.
But that's when Towns had hit a bunch of threes. You know, he was feeling it. You're like, you're the point guard, man. Get the ball to your star player. But in this one, it was, like Trey said, it was all D'Angelo Russell. And he was feeling it.
Yeah.
And I definitely wasn't screaming, get the ball to somebody else last night. He's like, okay, yep, it's one of these games. And he has these explosions where he really willed them to this victory. But it was a fun game.
And that's why you see him have those other games as well, because he sort of feels like it's D'Angelo Russell time. But Towns hit him with that beautiful pass last night for the 3 that sort of just put it
gorgeous
out of reach. He's got this ability, D'Angelo Russell, because he's not super fast. He's not super athletic. He doesn't jump very much, but he can get hot, and that's what the Wolves need. Their defense improved as well. It's coming together a little bit in Minnesota. I'm not sure what to make of it, but because, again, Anthony Edwards, if he's going 1 for 10, that's not good. You think, okay, where are they getting that other production from? But they found it last night against a very good team. Again, close. Could have gone either way down the stretch there, and the Wolves pull it out, 32 and 28. They're in the play-in, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're hoping to be in the actual playoffs.
Yeah.
Getting contributions, tasks. Oh, again, like the bench came through. Beasley hit a bunch of threes. And, you know, Naz Reid's out there maybe giving up some offensive rebounds, but he's banging away. And I thought, I'm falling in love. The more I watch of the Wolves, like Vanderbilt and McDaniels. I love both of these guys. Like, they feel just like those the fourth or fifth guy you want on your team. They're like, oh yeah, that's awesome if they're that. But this was a pretty impressive victory, like Trey said, with Cat and Ant really not scoring all that well.
It was fun to watch the Timberwolves supporting cast. I didn't think I'd be watching the Ja Morant versus Naz Reid show at times. Naz Reid, backup center, was playing Ja Morant pretty well. I do think on another night, the Grizzlies hit a few more shots, and this team that got 26 offensive rebounds wins the game. But they were missing shots. Ja just had a bad night, 7 of 25, and he started limping after banging up his hip, it looked like. And then he came back into the game and continued to limp.
Yeah.
Were you guys concerned? Was that the right call to keep him in the game?
I was concerned when it was happening because it looked bad. Every time you would hop back down the court, but then afterwards Taylor Jenkins said it was just a cramp. That's fine. You'll be fine the next game.
Yeah. I assume that he was fine because he did come back into the game. But then, the cramp kept up.
Yeah.
And people watching the game were like, what are you doing? Get him out of the game. But at the same time, the guy's scrapping for his teammates. He's showing he's making his sacrifices, which should hopefully trickle down to the rest of the guys in the playoffs. But if the cramp is still a problem today, sit him down for a couple games. But I think you got the benefit of the guy's a leader, and he's putting his body on the line, and I think the benefit will trickle down to the other guys. So it's just a bad night, I think, for Ja in this one.
I would love this in a playoff matchup. Mm. I think this would be such a great first round series between like two young teams, mm-hmm. like on the rise, want to win, obviously, and move forward. And it's a possibility, right? I mean, I don't have the standings in front of me, but this could be like a 3-6 matchup or something like that.
Absolutely. It could be. The Grizzlies are right now pretty much, I mean, not locked into that third, but they're 3.5 up on the Jazz for fourth. They're probably not going to catch the Warriors there. And then, yeah, the Wolves, 2.5 back of the Nuggets right now. So that one's probably going to be a bit of a battle there. But I would like to see these two young teams go out. But I knew Ja Morant was fine because his little daughter was, she saw him go down and she was like, he's fine, see?
Kids know.
Well, yeah. She's like, get up, daddy.
Yeah.
Devin Booker, 25 points. Suns beat the Thunder for their 8th straight victory. Let's just slip this in. We got to talk a little bit about Point Book because Chris Paul is out. He's got the fractured right thumb. He's going to miss some time here. So that means Devin Booker, you're the playmaker, and season-high 12 assists. He had a career-high 6 steals as mm-hmm. well, still got his 25. You must have been impressed with what we saw there from Point Book, Tass, because I guess I sort of had forgotten he did do this when he was losing a bunch of games on the Suns under Igor, if you remember.
Oh, it
was,
yeah.
They were trying Devin Booker the point, so he got some reps in, and maybe that helped him out there last night as they continued to hum along and get the victories here.
I don't remember the Igor era.
No? But, it was dark. I was the only Devin Booker fan out there, I felt
the
like.
Igor era.
Yeah. Igor Kokoschkov. That was 1 year of Igor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That was a quick run.
It must have been,
a
19-win year? Didn't they have like a couple 19-win
like
years?
Yeah,
they got that number one draft pick.
Right. Worked out.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Igor,
everybody's like, oh, they're taking Doncic. That's his coach.
Yeah, good point.
Weird.
But yeah, the Suns are going to be fine. I mean, I definitely wasn't watching a lot of this game against the OKC Thunder, but yeah, the Warriors have 7 more losses than them in the second seed with you know, only about 22 games to go. So it's going to be very difficult to overcome that. I think these reps are good for Devin Booker as the point guard with Chris Paul out right now because, yeah, again, I don't think they're losing this one seed, and there's going to be games where Chris Paul is maybe not feeling it or has foul trouble or, you know, unfortunately right now, if this injury persists a little bit into the first round of the playoffs, Devin Booker could be their lead guard. I'm sure the campaign was great last year. He chipped in. He won a Western Conference Finals game, but this year it hasn't been the same for campaign. So, yeah, these are good reps, I think.
Aaron Holiday is getting the backup point guard minutes. He's like a new addition to this team. 5 of 5 last night, 12 points, 5 assists. He's playing for them. I think they're like, Monty Williams is like definitely leaning towards him over Elfrid Payton as mm-hmm. that backup point guard. That makes sense. And Mikal Bridges also, with no Chris Paul, watch him and what he does. He had 21 shots. That's a lot him. I think it's the most he's taken in a game this year. 10 of 21. He had the 4 steals because the defense is elite, but he'll get more of a chance here to shoot the ball. And I just will say, you said they're like, 7 games up on the Warriors?
Six and a half.
Jeez.
7 less losses. Yeah.
You have to find the balance, right, Monty Williams and the Suns coaching staff, between the workload for Booker. Like, I don't think you don't want to go overboard. The reps are fine at the point guard. We know he can do it. But also, if you're so clear with the number one seed, there are opportunities to get him some rest and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and just give more minutes to Holiday and Payton. So it's just something to watch, but mm-hmm. just another win, and that's all they do.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Trying to be positive about the Chris Paul injury is like, this is a good opportunity mm-hmm. just to see how the Suns can close out the season, because, again, it did get close-ish in that fourth quarter, and it was like, okay, Chris Paul isn't here. Who is going to step up? And, again, it's against the Thunder, fine, but that's the thing for the Suns. Chris Paul getting a bit of rest for his legs here for projected a long playoff run could work out okay if they can just sort of show, hey, we can survive without him.
Yeah, we said it at the time. It's better that he got injured now than he got injured in a playoff series, stuff like that. Just the other games from last night, quickly. Cade Cunningham's free throws. You must love this. Lead the Pistons over the Cavs. Though the Cavs had, 3 chances to tie this thing up?
Pretty open looks as well.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Couldn't knock it down, so Pistons get the win. Curry and the Warriors crushed the Blazers. Just destroyed them. And Jokic and Will Barton helped the Nuggets to the 128-110 win over the Kings. And I got a little trivia for you guys off of this game.
Kings trivia.
Wow.
So, Will Barton, you know, Jokic is still the MVP front runner, according to Basketball Reference. A lot of people have him at least top 3, wherever you put him. But Will Barton, season high 31, Fartin' Will Barton, you know I love to call him that, 11 for 17 overall. He made 3 three-pointers. He needs just 5 three-pointers to pass J.R. Smith for the most three-pointers in Nuggets history.
Wow.
I was like, what? Yeah, I was like, that can't be right. I checked it. It is. So I thought this would make a fun trivia question. Obviously, it's still J.R. Smith, number 1. It's Will Barton, number 2. Can you name the other eight guys on the Nuggets all-time list for three-pointers made?
Well, Melo.
Melo, yeah.
Well, you say that like it's an obvious answer. He's not there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chauncey Billups. Yeah.
There you go. Ninth, 514.
Andre Miller.
Andre Miller, not there.
Nah. Michael Adams.
Michael Adams, fourth. Uh-huh, good stuff. 630.
Yeah. Jokic, then?
Jokic is a good guess, but it's correct. He's eighth. Sorry, I didn't think he was there.
Yep. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
No, no.
Ooh.
There's one
George.
A current player that's going to be like taking this in, I don't know, next year. He'll...
Jamal Murray.
Yeah, Jamal Murray. He's third already.
Right.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Okay, so you need fifth, sixth, seventh, and then you need tenth. I mean, you should get
Nick
10.
Van Exel?
No, no.
I should get number 10.
Yeah, it's your father.
Oh, Dale.
Dale Ellis. Yep, he's 10th.
On the Nuggets.
On the Nuggets. 3-point field goals. I know.
I did not even remember him on the Nuggets.
He was the only guy who shot 3-pointers.
All right, 5, 6, 7. The 7th place guy we just talked about in another game on today's show. Trey, I believe.
No, Gallinari.
Yeah, Gallinari, yeah.
What?
He's 7th and...
Come on, he was a Thunder for like 1 second.
5th and 6th.
Dan Issel.
No, these are players...
Fat
league. One plays. The other guy's out of the league, I think.
These are players. Who play.
Yeah, one guy plays. We always think he's going to be traded at the deadline. He's still there on his team. Maybe
Gary Harris?
Gary Harris. Wow. He's 5th.
Wow. This is a wild
list. One more. Yeah, yeah. This guy's 6th. What can I tell you about this guy? He's got a... He probably makes a lot of money seeing as basketballs are named after him.
Oh, Earl...
Wilson Chandler?
Wilson Chandler.
Earl Wilson.
Earl Spalding is a football player in Australia, but I said Earl. I thought it's not him, and then I thought Boykins. I think he makes basketball.
So let's go over that again. The all-time leaders in Nuggets history for three-pointer field goals made: J.R. Smith, Will Barton, Jamal Murray, Michael Adams, Gary Harris, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, Jokic, Billups, and Dale Ellis.
Wow. That's messed up.
That is a weird list.
I don't...
And I'm glad we played
that. Melo not on that. I mean...
Yeah, he must just be off, right? He must be like just under Dale Ellis, I guess.
Yeah.
It's weird. Maybe Basketball Reference is wrong. Somebody can fact check me out there. I'm looking at it as I'm reading it to you guys. Just a quick question before we take our first break. Because we are in the second half, home stretch, whatever you want to call it. Is there a storyline that you guys really have your eye on? Something to watch here in this latter part of the NBA season, regular season?
Well, sort of referring a little bit more to the game we just saw between the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, is are the Grizzlies going to be able to keep up this pace? You know, they've been an incredible story. They were 10-10 at one point. They're 41-20 right now. They've almost locked into that third place in the Western Conference. Can they keep it up? I mean, or are they going to have a little bit of a, like, sort of, maybe like we're seeing with the Cavs as well. They had such a great start to the season. Are they going to sort of drop back to the, you know, regress a little bit here to more mid-pack of the Western Conference? I think they're a very good team. They've still got Dylan Brooks to come back. They have a potential top 3 to 5 All-Star MVP candidate in Jaren Jackson has been incredible. Bane's been awesome. They're well coached. But it does still feel a little bit like they're playing above their head somewhat. So will that even out, or will they be a legit team and you know, carry on and have home court advantage for at least the first round and possibly beyond?
Okay, so you're trying to figure out just how real these Grizzlies are. All right. What about you, Trey?
It ain't sexy, but it's honestly injuries for me, because look at all of the players who are hurt right now just on contending teams. Obviously, the Suns have Chris Paul out. That's huge. They can't win a championship without Chris Paul. But if he comes back and he looks fine, no problem. Same with the Warriors and Draymond Green. He's been out for a while. That's a mysterious one. Like, he was just out of the lineup one day, and now he's been out for months. They need him back to win a championship. We talked about Kevin Durant. The Bucks have Brook Lopez, played the first game of the season. Haven't heard or seen anything about him basically since. They've been trying a whole bunch of different backup bigs. I don't think they win the championship without Brook Lopez. The Bulls' three best defensive players are out. The Nuggets might get Jamal Murray back. They might get Michael Porter Jr. back. You go further down the standings, the Hawks have no John Collins. They need him to make the play-in tournament. The Clippers might get Paul George back. The Lakers have Anthony Davis out. Who knows what's happening with Zion Williamson and the Pelicans? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of huge name players who are out of the lineups right now, all for teams that need these guys back if they're going to accomplish what they're setting out to do this season. Yeah. So it's all going to come down to, like, when these guys get healthy, when they get back up to their conditioning to get ready for the playoffs, because we're running out of time. We've got, like, 6 or 7 weeks until the playoffs start. So heal up, boys.
Yeah. What about you, Tass? What's the storyline?
Well, I think the Brooklyn Nets thing is incredibly interesting because as much as we say the Eastern Conference is wide open, it's wide open for them as well because there's lots of holes. The Bucks are giving up boards and giving up extra points because Brook Lopez isn't there. You know, they should be the absolute favorite, but they have a hole. Miami Heat, they lack some half-court scoring. I think that's an issue with them. I think everywhere, up and down the Eastern Conference, there are holes, and the Brooklyn Nets had 8 games played between their top three last year. They went to the second round. It was very close. They almost knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks if they weren't hurt. So this is it's wild to think that a team that will finish, you know, 8th at the best, it looks like, because their schedule and because they just don't have enough time to make it up from 8th to the Raptors 7th spot, that they could be a team that goes to the finals depending on how it comes together. But they're going to have like 16 games to have an incredible lineup. See if they actually can put it all together. So that's wild to think about. You know, the Rockets were the lowest seeded team to win the finals. Yeah, their 6th seed, you know, way back. The Knicks, you know, made it as an 8th seed to the finals and lost. But the Nets, I think, could easily be there as well. They are nothing to scoff at. So those the 15-16 game run that they're going to have, 17 games maybe. I just wonder when they all come back. Are they coming back piecemeal or are they coming back altogether? Because it's a weird thing happening. It's like Ben Simmons, is he waiting for Kevin Durant to come back so he can come back? Like, what the hell is going on there? Why not come back altogether? I just hope that March 10th game between the Nets and the Sixers is going to be full strength. And Danny Green, Ben Simmons' former teammate, came out and said, "I don't think Ben Simmons is playing. I don't think he is, but come on. Come on, Benny, let's go."
What's that? I mean, basically two weeks away.
2 weeks yesterday, yeah, it was, yeah.
2 weeks yesterday. Yeah. Okay, there you go. One guy expected to be back tonight, I think I saw. The reports is James Harden. Yeah. Call him Jimmy Harden. He'll be back playing for the Sixers tonight. So that's obviously a storyline to watch, too. How do Harden and Embiid work? Are they, like, unstoppable, too, there in the East? Or do they have some struggles in terms of, like, who's getting the balls, who's getting the touches, where it's going in the fourth quarter? So obviously we'll be watching that one tonight. We'll be talking about it on Monday, I'm sure. Let's hear from everybody out there, though, in the stream team. Storyline you're watching here in the second half of the season. The home stretch is the better way to put it. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, a little Is This News.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Back with the boys in the Classic Factory for a little Friday drop. Let's play Is This News. Got some headlines for you guys. And this first one, Tass, really excited to hear your take because we had NBC Sports with the headline, "Disconnect between Zion Williamson and the Pelicans reportedly due to lack of trust with David Griffin." So the Pelicans and Zion making a lot of headlines over the last couple of days. Is this news, or what do you think?
I don't think this part is news. Yeah, why did this whole brouhaha, this whole dust-up between Zion and the Pelicans front office start? Well, because CJ McCollum was traded there. He had played about 5 games, about 2 weeks, and he said, "I haven't heard from Zion Williamson yet."
Right.
What the hell is going on? Why hasn't Zion picked up the phone and called him? That's why this whole thing started. And then his former teammate, JJ Redick, came out and said, "Zion Williamson kind of does this. This is a pattern of behavior from him, that he is a detached teammate. J.J. Redick was there during his rookie year, and on ESPN this week he said he just has a lack of investment in the team. He pointed out a few things, that his lack of investment in his body, his work, he called it. I guess that's on-court work, and his teammates. And that was back in his rookie year. And I got to believe J.J. Redick here, because he did say he confronted him in front of the team during his rookie year. J.J. went up and spoke to Zion. So if we're going back to this first initial news story that Zion has a distrust with the front office, I think Zion was sort of detached in his rookie year. I'm buying what J.J. Redick is saying there. So did he have a distrust in his rookie year? I mean, I don't think so. Like, I think this is just what Zion is at 21 years old, and maybe he can turn it around. Maybe he's just young and doesn't see himself as the leader of this team and doesn't pick up his cell phone, and maybe he didn't know CJ McCollum's number. I mean, that's a dumb reason. It's a dumb excuse why he wouldn't text somebody. But yeah, J.J. Redick came out and claimed, come on, you text your teammate. I texted everybody. I texted Ersan Ilyasova, was what J.J. Redick was saying. And I think J.J. Redick, I mean, if he was going to pick one side, he would pick Zion's side, because he has a beef with David Griffin himself.
Right,
because of the way he left New Orleans and wanted to trade to the East Coast, and he traded him to Texas, and he didn't like that. So I'm thinking there's just a problem with Zion and not being a number one guy. Just not comporting himself like that, I guess, is what's happening. And so that's the issue here. The distrust thing, yeah. He didn't like Stan Van Gundy. He probably got him fired. He probably got his whole staff fired. Then they traded Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who's his buddy. So maybe that pissed him off too.
Lonzo as well.
Yeah, Lonzo as well. And then last week, the strangest thing of all, you know, an actual thing that happened, the Pelicans send out this season ticket promotion for next season, and the players on it are CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and I don't even remember the third one. Valanciunas. And not Zion.
That's weird.
That's weird. And then they corrected it and threw Zion in there afterward. There's a disconnect there for sure. Zion hasn't talked a lot since the beginning of the season, but he did go on record, as our own Will Guillory said on The Athletic. He came out and said, I love New Orleans, but then he kind of went into hiding. So I think he's 21 years old and just isn't ready for that. And if the body doesn't catch up, which is a big issue, and maybe he's not dedicated enough, then maybe he's not even going to have time to do that. Maybe the body just won't react like he should, like it will, like he wants it to. But if he's not dedicated to it, then I don't know how he's going to put on those Nikes.
CJ McCollum has since come out and said, we've talked.
Yes.
We've linked up. And in fact, I think CJ even told the media, you know, leave him alone. Mm. Like, let him rehab. And, you know, I don't think CJ McCollum had planned on this happening. This is really what kicked it off. Yeah, I think he was just like being honest. He's like, no, I haven't talked to him. And then, oh my God, this becomes a huge story. And here we are. But, you know, this whole thing, possibly this disconnect between the organization and Zion, you think there's maybe some truth to that from what we've seen over the last couple of years?
Yeah, well, we haven't seen enough of Zion. That's the problem. He's always injured. He's played 85 games in his first two seasons. He came into the season, we didn't hear about that foot injury that he had to get repaired, and now he's got another one. So he's possibly out again the entire season this year, which is bad. And then he's apparently off rehabbing with his own people. That's never a good sign when someone's like, I'm just going to do it with my own people. I don't trust the organization.
They could come to an agreement with the organization over, like, possibly, this is better if you're in X place and stuff like that.
Well,
you looking at it like, is this Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs 2.0 here? Now, it's a little different because Kawhi had already signed a big deal. You know, he's been in the league a lot longer, but is that what you're concerned?
That's exactly where I'm sort of going, because Zion can sign his rookie extension at the end of this season as well, that massive 5-year, 200 and whatever it is, million-dollar contract. And when he's away from the team rehabbing, it's kind of like, I don't trust those guys. But it's also like, well, you haven't been on the court long enough really to be going off with other people. You've got to get yourself healthy and get on the court. There's a lot of finger-pointing going on. The fact that David Griffin has fired Alvin Gentry and he fired Stan Van Gundy after one season, he's under some pressure as well. He's made this trade to get CJ McCollum. The Pelicans absolutely must make the play-in tournament this season, with or without Zion. They've just got to show that they can sort of, they're an organization going forward, not backwards.
What do you think, Trey?
Well, I think Lee is right. We need to see Zion on the court. It seems like he needs to be working on his communication. He's still just in his third season. He's missed the majority of all three of the seasons. And like Lee just ran down, he's had a different coach every single year as well. So it's like an unsteady franchise. an unhealthy player and a guy who's supposed to be the face of your franchise, the leader of your franchise, who isn't healthy enough to actually be the leader of your franchise. So it's just all bad. Quite honestly, it's a bad gumbo, if you will. New Orleans, shout out there. But yeah, I mean, the clock is ticking. That's the problem is that even though Zion hasn't been on the court, he's still under contract, and that contract is coming up sooner rather than later. So yeah, I don't know. The Pelicans need to make the play-in tournament. I think that is huge. Getting Zion back on the court, even if it's just for like 10 games at the end of the year, that would be huge to see as well. The two other things that stuck out to me, the Ersan Ilyasova shout out from JJ Redick, I thought was hilarious because like Ben Simmons just shouted out Ersan Ilyasova too. I'm like, what's all the Ersan Ilyasova buzz about in 2022?
Must be a great teammate.
Yeah, he must be. He swapping around there, just shooting the wide open threes. That's all he does. And then I also thought it was funny that after Zion got called out for not texting with CJ McCollum, he put up an Instagram thanking Willie Hernan Gomez.
I have a phone.
Cool, man. Yeah. Cool.
What are the Pelicans going to do? You said he's only played 85 games, got this contract extension coming up. Like, is it a, like, am I being dumb to even, like, question whether they just say, here you go, here is the max, please continue to stay with us, or do you as an organization have to be like, I don't know, or is it like the Embiid situation where there's just a bunch of clauses in this contract where you got to play X amount of minutes and stuff like that and stay healthy?
So he doesn't have to sign it this summer. He can hang on to next season and he's still a restricted free agent,
right?
So then they can match any offer he gets, and then worst case scenario they can offer him the qualifying offer for that fifth season, then he becomes unrestricted. I think they probably, as a show of good faith, want to say to him, we believe in you. Here's your max. It's a huge gamble by the franchise. But I also think if there's any more sort of conflict and chaos, that could just make things even worse. So it's almost like we've got this guy. We know what the potential is there. We're gambling against the injury. So to certainly put in some criteria there that he has to meet, like the Joel Embiid. But I don't think you want to sort of show like, we're not sure. You might not even be able to make it through another season. So I think you have to go ahead. It's a big risk, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you agree with that, though? They almost have to as an organization with it? Or no?
Yeah, if they have enough stipulations in there, then I think it's fine. Because even the Embiid scenario, they would save so much money. They'd get out of it if the knees and the ankles don't hold up. In Embiid's situation, they've held up pretty fine. But you know, I think what J.J. Redick is hinting at, it's not just that he doesn't know how to use a cell phone or he's not using a cell phone to text the guys that have been traded. It's that he isn't dedicated to his bod enough. I think that's part of it as well. And so that's got to be a worry as the front office.
Oh, yeah.
But it was considering that we have never seen a physical specimen like that in the NBA. Shaq is different. Zion is just... he's one of one. So if he's not dedicated to himself, then if they save themselves with a billion different stipulations, then I think it's fine.
Our next headline from The Athletic. A fine website. Go get yourself a subscription. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. Knicks and Kemba Walker agree to sit the four-time All-Star for the remainder of the season. Kemba is done as a New York Knick, at least this year, and probably next, for being honest. I'm sure he'll be traded, but what do you think?
More bad gumbo. This is just a bummer season for Kemba Walker. He was bad to start the year, so then he was out of the lineup. He came back in during the COVID protocol time in December and January. He was balling. Then he got hurt again, came back, and he's really struggled since. It's just been zero consistency. He doesn't look like the same Kemba Walker at this point. I thought it was a smart move by the Knicks to bring him in, actually. Like, a decent risk, like... you're not paying a whole bunch on his contract. He might still have a little juice left in the tank, but as it turned out, not so much. So, I don't know. Looking a little bit like the Isaiah Thomas end of his career, where he was on top of the world, an injury happened, and that injury just snapped, took it away so quickly, the little bit that made him special. As for the Knicks, they're 3 games out of 10th. Derrick Rose theoretically comes back soon. Obviously, they're going to try for the play-in, but they should try playing their young guys because I don't think the Knicks are making a whole bunch of noise in the postseason. So get quickly some run. Like, Tibbs is saying that Alec Burks is going to start.
Yeah.
What's the point? What's the point at this point?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, why? Excuse me. That's great. Surely, that's great. I know Kemba defensively has been a weakness for them at times. But, I mean, it's not like the cupboard is just, like, overflowing with replacements who are just so much better than Kemba right now. I mean, I thought he was pretty professional handling that first demotion, too, where he was on the side, cheering on his guys, waiting for his opportunity. He came back one player of the week at a 44-point game.
Yeah.
You know,
he had a triple-double on Christmas. Exactly. I know it wasn't efficient.
Yeah, but you know, so Kemba was at least being the good teammate there. And yeah, Alec Burks, if that's the guy who is going to go forward with starting, it's like, well, okay, sure, great. That doesn't change anything, really. I mean, you've got to get Trey saying the younger guys, that's right. You know, when RJ Barrett is healthy, get him out there. You want to see more, of course, from Mitchell Robinson, and I'm forgetting one other of their young stars there. Grimey's been good for them, actually,
McBride.
Yeah, so you may as well just say, all right, let's get these guys some experience, because we're not going anywhere with Alec Burks as our starting point guard.
Yeah. Kemba, in the last like 12 or 13 games, he's obviously giving up a ton on the other end because he's not a defensive stopper, so that sucks. But he's not getting you any back, right? I mean, he was scoring 8 points a game. He was shooting 37% over his last stretch here where Trey said he came back from the injury. And I'm with you, Trey. It's like very IT-like. He's a small guard, and the explosiveness is gone. Yeah. It's like zapped from him, and it's a shame. But, you know, maybe he has those odd little bursts here and there, but night in, night out, he's given up a ton of points on one end, and he's not hitting shots, Taz. So I think he's going to be – he's obviously not playing for the rest of the season. He'll be an expiring contract that you can probably move. It's not gigantic. Maybe you get something back. Maybe you don't, and they go on from here. But I also think it was worth the risk with him. I thought Kemba looked great in the bubble. I thought there was moments where he looked really good at times in the bubble, which is, I guess, an eternity ago at this point.
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
but that was his late 20s. Now he's in his early 30s. Things, just like that. It is. It happens just like that in terms of the explosiveness for, small guard, as you said. The problem is he could maybe be a sixth man, but the Knicks just have so many good players, but not great players. It's like Kemba could be their starter, but there's nobody that's good enough to really knock him out of the starting spot. They're just they handcuff themselves by signing so many good players. They literally have a bunch of solid guys, but no one that's really great. And now they have more solid guys, like Alec Burks is going to come in there and take potentially Deuce McBride's minutes or whoever. There's a bunch of vets. They sign these guys like they were going to help out a championship level team. Like that's what you're doing when you're signing all of these types of dudes like Alec Burks. Like, okay, he can come in and chip in 10, 15 minutes. Actually, no, he's our starter. And Derrick Rose is the same sort of guy as Kemba Walker now. So that's, they've handcuffed themselves. They have so many vets that Thibodeau has still got the excuse to play these guys, and the young guys are not going to play. And it's not just this year. I mean, Fournier is signed forever. Burks is signed for another 2 years. Noel is signed for another 2 years. So, I mean, they have to do some real rejigging this offseason to change up, to get a little bit more dynamic and a little bit more athletic.
Final headline here from Blazers Edge. Yusuf Nurkic to miss 4 weeks due to plantar fasciitis. Liam, is this news?
It's bad news for Yusuf Nurkic, but it's probably not the worst news for the Blazers if they're hoping to get a higher draft pick. They're still in the play-in tournament right now, but now they're very, very thin in the middle. They just signed, they picked up Drew Eubanks, so he's probably going to be their starting center for the remainder of the season.
He started last night, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. And Justice Winslow is one of those guys who's kind of a undersized big, so he probably gets the other minutes there. But for the Blazers, look forward, not back.
Yeah.
And if you can drop down, let the Spurs and the Pelicans fight over that last play-in spot. Maybe that's not the worst thing in the world.
So they say he's been playing through this injury for a long time. You know, they say it's since September, but he's been playing well. They're going to reevaluate him at the end of 4 weeks. So it's not like they're saying he's done for the season. But Trey, do you believe this is the Blazers going, well, crap, we just won four games in a row before the trade deadline, or excuse me, before the All-Star break. We don't want to be in the play-in. We want a high draft pick. Nurk, he's balling right now. Is the foot sore?
Yeah.
Just rest, buddy. I mean, that's what this is, right?
Yeah, he just had 32-8 against the Grizzlies, who are like one of the better defensive and interior teams in the league. That was right before the All-Star break. But I guess they finally found the right guy to shut down for the season. Because, you know, they shut down Lillard. He's not coming back. But the team was still hanging in the play-in tournament. They traded McCollum, so he's gone. Team still hanging in the play-in tournament. Keep winning games. Finally set down Nurkic and lost by 40 points.
Yeah.
So, great move by Chauncey Billups and the crew.
Yeah, but would Nurk agree to that, being that he is a free agent this coming offseason?
Probably. He's probably like, get me healthy so I can get on a team here.
Yeah.
I guess if he is really injured, then yes. It could be something that lingers. Plantar fasciitis lingers. But he's had some good games recently.
Yeah, he was averaging 21, 14, and 4 on 60% shooting during that little four-game win streak.
Playing his way out of the rotation.
Yeah, right. It's strange. I saw my favorite comment was plantar fasciitis just so happens to be Latin for top 5 draft pick. because they're like, yep, sit him. He's helping us win too many games. And yeah. I think that's what's going on.
The benefit is Trendon Watford, one of the best NBA names, is into the rotation. He is a backup center, signed like a Lou Dort type 4-year contract just now. You know, a little short contract, make some money. Trendon Watford. I love that name. Also,
I'm more of a Keljan Blevins fan myself.
You're a real Kyle Guy type of guy.
You want to bounce? Kyle Guy is the type of guy.
You know, Justin Champagny, if we were looking for deep, great names in the league. The thing is, yeah, the Blazers are 10th. What? Just include everybody in the play-in tournament. Who cares?
What is this, the bubble?
The Spurs, the Pelicans are knocking on the door. It feels like everybody is still in the play-in tournament.
The Blazers won't be.
No, they
shouldn't
be. They're
going to be gone in a hurry.
I don't know. Simons can still...
Oh, they're going to...
I mean, do you think the Spurs and Pelicans and Kings are coming for their spot?
Not the Kings. No. The Spurs.
Maybe on accident. They just traded Eubanks, though, so I don't know.
I just think the Blazers want to get the hell out of that race, and this is why Nurk is being sat down at this point. Maybe I'm wrong, but you're right. I mean, those teams behind them, they don't instill a ton of confidence.
Yeah.
I guess the Pelicans of the bunch there with McCollum and that deal they made, and Griffin trying to save his job, as you guys just talked about. Like, they want to get in there, so... Yeah, it'll probably be theirs is my point.
Yep.
But who knows? It's not like the guys that the Blazers are going to play are going to be like, yeah, let's go out and lose. Mm. No, they're going to be like, let's go out, get ours, and maybe we end up in some victories. But you got Hart, you got Winslow, and Simons, like you said. These guys are going to put up some box score stats for sure. Mm-hmm. So that's is this news. Why don't we, before we take our last break, do a little tweet of the night? Because I got some great ones here. I got three.
Wow.
We've been gone for a while, right? I thought, we've been gone for so long. Let's do a couple fun tweets. So a couple of them, actually really all of them, the photo is an important part. So maybe jump over to YouTube and check out this part of the podcast if you're listening. First one's from Dwayne Wade. He tweeted this great photo of the top 75 celebration over All-Star Weekend. Dudes, when they get a night with the homies. Crying emoji, laughing emoji. And it's a pic for those listening of Gary Payton, Michael Jordan, Jason Kidd, and Dwayne Wade just
giggling.
Boy, we're going to get into some trouble here.
Yeah.
This is the happiest Michael Jordan has ever been.
I know.
Facts. There's one of him and Kawhi Leonard. Oh. He's like hugging
Kawhi's
him.
Like grinning ear to ear.
And he almost didn't even show up to it. He ended up having the time of his life. Yep. Wow. Amazing stuff.
So I love that. Just a funny caption there, of course.
Michael Jordan's face here is ridiculous, man. I've never seen his face look like that. He's never been that giddy.
Okay, keeping with the photos here, this is from our good friend at Andrew K. Schlecht. This is last night. This is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander showing up to the game. He was back in the lineup. What a look here. And Andrew is asking, do we know what this outfit is called? Does it have a name? Trey, you are our fashion guru. Like, how could you at least describe this look for someone listening to the podcast?
Well, I would say he's wearing an oatmeal colored fleece with a snorkel hood.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Nearly a balaclava, and then he's wearing a very puffy, almost fisherman-y sort of vest, like with the pockets on it and the cut of it, but obviously it's way more stylish than that. this is a great
stylish. Is it stylish?
Well, fashion forward, we'll say. Yeah, we'll say. Yeah, but the full zipped up hood is hilarious to me, just showing a tiny bit of your face.
It looks sort of like the Thunder plane just had to make an emergency landing in the middle of Alaska, and you had to put on your life vest, I guess, that inflates on the plane. And then he's like, well, it's cold out there too, so we better bundle up. But what do you think, Lee? Would you rock that?
I just don't get the life vesty part of it. I think, cool, man. You know, otherwise, it sort of almost looks like sometimes when they're doing NBA 2K and they've got to put all the things on the player to get the movements right, it's almost like he's
You know,
yeah, true. Sort of like
just
that.
The comfy version of
yeah.
that.
Yeah. One of those ones when Andrew tweeted, I'm like, who is that? I can't even quite make out that who that is at the start. And then you're like, okay, yeah, it's Shay.
It does look like an emergency situation because yeah. that's yeah. a sloppy t-shirt underneath too.
Yeah.
Like, what is that t-shirt all about? Oh, that's a bad look. But because he plays in OKC, he kind of goes overlooked, but he wears some wild
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's on a lot of flavor. Like... you know, the I guess who's doing those, like Bleacher Report or League Fits or whatever. Mm. Like, yeah, he's on a lot of the lists of the most fashionable guys. It's but you're right. There's some out there things. Final one. Yeah, I got one more tweet for you guys. From Discussing Film, Shout Factory has acquired Elf with plans to bring the character back, quote, in a totally new way with new content, unseen art, and restored footage not seen in 30 years. This is the moment Elf fans have been waiting for. You're damn right it is. And I'm taking full credit for this one. I feel like I said Elf was going to be coming back like a couple months ago to you guys here on the show. Or I was like at least perplexed why every other show has been rebooted or come back. Mm. And why not Elf?
Because it sucked.
No, I never watched Elf.
I did watch it.
You bullshit.
I did watch it. Because he used to try it. He was always going to eat the cat,
hell
the family
yeah.
cat.
Yeah, and, he was.
And the old man was like, you know, stop eating the cat or don't try to eat the cat.
No, will he? So anyway, Elf is coming back. I'm a little, like, I'm a little perplexed by this tweet. Unseen art and the restored footage. I don't really get what's going on here.
It doesn't sound like a show. It just sounds like.
It just sounds like they're like really just going to re-air
it. Starting an Instagram account?
Like,
yeah, the Elf archives.
Yeah.
JD, any thoughts on the Elf comeback that we've all been waiting for? Or at least Elf fans like me have been waiting for.
I have zero thoughts on it.
What?
I never, like Lee, I've never watched the show, so I have... Yeah, no.
Well, then that's even more of a reason for you to be excited. I mean,
I never really watched the first Prince of Bel-Air, and I'm not watching Bel-Air either.
I haven't started yet.
It's like part of it is comparing it to the original.
True.
I've never really watched Elf. I mean, the things that I have seen of Elf, it looks awful, like just brutal.
Awful.
Yeah, awful.
It was number one when Seinfeld started.
Yeah, because it was great.
Yeah, that just shows, like, the bar was pretty low.
Now, here's all I'm asking for. You know where I'm going to go with this. Let's see his feet. Let's see Elf's legs. Those were the number one episodes. Trust me. Gotta see his
those
feet.
Those were the number one episodes?
Yeah, well, it was cool.
Whoa, look at those feet.
Yeah, because you don't see them often.
I thought you were going to say they got to decapitalize the last two letters of his name.
It's like the Miami Heat. No, it works for Elf for me. I don't
mind. Lifeform, that's his name.
Yeah, it's an acronym.
From Melmac.
That's right.
That's his planet.
Yeah.
I might have to do a whole podcast on this Elf reboot or whatever the hell this is.
I want in on that.
Okay. Sure. Let us know in the stream team. Let us know on Twitter at NoDunksInc. Thumbs up or thumbs down on us doing an Elf podcast whenever this show comes back. Whatever the hell this is.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be... like Bel-Air, do you think it's going to be a gritty reboot?
Hopefully.
Oh, my God.
Like,
that'd
he
be
gets
scary.
The cats. Well, he's chowing down every episode.
Wow.
Put it on HBO so you can really see the core.
I guess you could do, like, the stuffed animal that... Bear. What was that movie?
Teddy Ruxpin?
Ted.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, was it rated R?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, you could go that way with Elf. Yeah. Make
just absolutely.
A sicko. And so, yeah.
Well, you may as well. Yeah. I mean, why not? They've run out of ideas. So let's just make it like a, you know, adults only version of Elf.
Thriller Elf.
Why not?
Horror Elf.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You want to start writing it? Let's write the script, man. Let's do it. All right. So those are the tweets of the night / really week. Let's take our final break.
Was
when
there
we come
a movie?
Back.
It's on the internet.
What?
It says the series ended with a cliffhanger finale that was followed by a movie in '96 that answered some questions for fans. Warner Brothers.
I didn't know this.
Warner Brothers announced an Elf reboot in 2018, but the project was canceled before it could begin. Now it's back, baby.
There's an Elf movie?
I don't know.
How many unanswered questions did the Elf fans have? They had to come out with a movie and a series to answer all these questions.
Who's going
to
be Elf then? Who gets the plop job as Elf? You know?
I don't know.
And the rap here, therap.com writes, a gritty Elf reboot is coming. It could be gritty.
Oh my God. Gritty Elf.
Gritty should play Elf. That would
not
be cool and
idea.
Weird.
Not bad at all.
Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to be making some new Pick'em picks as we start to wrap up the month of February. TASS needs this one tonight. And we got some rapid fire fun. We'll be right back.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Back with No Dunks here in the Classic Factory. Before we get to tonight's Pick'em, brought to you by BetMGM, just to get the February records out there for everybody. Maybe you've forgotten. I'm 10-3, Lee's 9-4. We're clear, my man. We're good.
Okay.
Good nice. Months. Good stuff. Trey's 6-7. TASS is 4-9. Mm. Okay? There's tonight's game here in February on a Friday night, and then I guess you got Monday to play with, too. So you need this one tonight.
I do.
You're two games back from TK. What is tonight's game?
I was dumb and I got desperate on our last daily show, but here we are in desperation mode. Mm. There's nine games tonight. ESPN went with the big market games that some people will not care about. Heat, Knicks, Clippers, Lakers. But there's some other doozies. Raps, Hornets, 76ers, Timberwolves, and then our game, Mavericks, Jazz. So Trey picked the Mavs, so of course I'm taking the Jazz to try and get both these games right and tie him up. Also joining Trey is Lee, and Skeets joining me on the Utah Jazz bandwagon. The line is 6.5.
I thought that was weird.
Jazz have to win by 7 or more. That's yep, it's quite large.
Yeah.
Mavs just can lose by 6 or less.
All right, so there you go. TASS, to stay alive here in the month of February, needs the Jazz to win by 7 points or more. Let's wrap up this drop podcast with a little rapid fire fun. TK, you got the questions this week.
I've been waiting to ask y'all this question for a week. Where's Wancho? He's in a movie!
Yeah.
Netflix recently released a trailer for a new film called Hustle, starring noted hoops fan and pickup basketball aficionado Adam Sandler and the NBA's own Wancho Hernan Gomez. It's a weird sentence, but I want you to make a weirder one. Put an NBA player in a movie with a Saturday Night Live alum and give it a name. Skeets.
Chris Kaman and Chris Kattan are cavemen. I don't know. Just sounded like a real possible movie.
That's definitely a possible movie. I can see Chris Kaman and Chris Kattan playing a character like that.
Yeah, I picture it like Chris Kaman more of the caveman vibe, but then Kattan would be like he would be a caveman, but he's like this little weakling, and it's like he doesn't know how to do anything. So there, that's where the humor lies. But let's get Elf in it too.
Yeah, I think Elf can make an appearance.
Yeah.
I saw Corky Romano in a theater, so I'm buying a ticket to that.
All right,
JD, what's your NBA Saturday Night Live movie?
Yeah, still workshopping this a little bit, but one of my favorite characters from the SNL universe, is that a thing?
Sure.
Is Debbie Downer, the great Rachel Dratch.
Yep.
And I always thought she should have a movie. And who better to team up with Debbie Downer, but the most positive person I can think of in the NBA, and that, of course, is Bill Walton. And I'm just gonna just call it Debbie Downer, but they just go on a road trip. Debbie Downer and Bill Walton. I think it would be hilarious. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Hit me up, Hollywood.
Nice
hit me up.
Juxtaposition there. Love it.
I love it. Lee, what'd you got?
So, you know, the fashion industry is a very competitive field, right?
Yes.
So I'm going with Adam Sandler, and I'm going with Tracy McGrady, and it's all about a tailored industry for clothes, and it's called Uncut Hems.
Bars.
Wow.
Honestly, bars. Yeah, that was very good.
He's so proud. He's so fucking proud of himself.
From the studio who brought you uncooked carrots. Last weekend's dunk contest was not great, but we came up with some pretty solid ideas to bring it back to its glory. What's something else that needs fixing, and how would you fix it, Skeets?
The Apple TV remote.
Mm.
All iterations of it. I know it's gotten a little bit better. I think, like, this one, the current one, at least, like, the Gen 2 one, a bit better than the one before that was, like, you breathe on it and it's suddenly picking something you don't want. It's just too sensitive. Mm. And I think we can do better, Apple. So I don't really have all the ideas how to fix it, but I know it can be better, Trey.
Needs to be a better
it's
one.
It's not good.
I'm like a Gen 1 Apple TV, and that was like the skinny remote. I called it Stickity. That thing was like, you would lose it every time you
Oh, yeah, well, that's the other part.
Well, that's the thing. I think it works great.
No.
You just lose it. It doesn't work when you can't find it.
There's one.
Make it bigger.
There's one. It's the one after that. The trackpad on it is insanely sensitive. And now, like, the Gen 2, again, it's a bit better. They got rid of that, but, you're right. You lose them all the time. So we can do better.
Make it like an old person's cell phone or like a kid's cell phone where they have like four buttons, but it's like the size of a book.
Fine.
Yeah, then you won't lose it.
Yeah. I guess the new one's got the whole Siri element to it, but I don't like Siri. I just don't use it.
No. You can't delete it from your phone. Like, it's got to stay on there. I've tried a few times.
Siri?
Yeah.
You tried to delete Siri?
Yeah.
Man, that's ruthless.
Yeah.
They're listening, really, man. Like, they're listening. I'm trying to shut off the communication.
All right.
Tried to delete her. Ouch.
Get out of here, Siri.
Damn,
that's tough, bro. JD, what's something that needs fixing? How would you fix it?
I'm going with the Oscars. They're desperately trying to fix the Oscars.
Yep.
They're dropping two of my favorite categories, editing and score.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Oscars? That's not the solution. That is not the solution. Here's an idea. Make it entertaining. You've got the best of the best of Hollywood. Do a good show. Maybe people will watch it. I don't know. Anyways, that's my solution, is do better.
Yeah.
Make there, it a better show.
Do is there better, an award? Mr. Oscar.
Yeah. Is there an award show that they can emulate? Because
well, the Golden Globes is always better.
Yeah.
But why?
You feed them.
Yeah.
You give them a lot of booze.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's just more of a free-flowing, fun affair.
Yeah.
And usually they have a host. They haven't had a host the last few years. So
it's a big circle jerk.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a circle jerk. I want a circle jerk.
Call it the circle jerks.
You might as well. Yeah. Oh, here's another tip. Nominate movies that some people have seen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And maybe some good ones. I mean,
The Power of the Dog is going to win, apparently.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. Now I have to finish it. Maybe it gets good. I don't know.
I watched I watched over this little break Encanto. Mm. And what was the thing you were talking about with the songs? Like, you were saying the one banger song, which was what? The Bruno one?
We don't
Bruno.
Talk about Bruno.
Yeah, that one is not nominated because of this weird timing issue. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Or they just had to guess, I guess?
It came out after the nominations, so they had to guess. The movie came out after the nominations deadline.
And which one did they go with? Do you remember?
Ay, Mariposa.
Dos Oruguitas.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, yeah. Still, it's no Bruno. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. Hey, good movie. Yeah.
It's fun.
I was entertained.
Good Not music. Nominated for Best Picture, is it? Oh, and Don't Look Up. Did you guys see that?
I did.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Awful.
I must have.
Yeah. Awful. Wow. Yeah, I was looking so forward to that movie.
I was looking so up.
Here's what you do. You put Project Elf, the 96 movie, in every category. Just as a little nod. Okay. What do you got there, Lily?
So, you know, I'm a big sports guy.
Right. I don't like hemming stuff.
Yeah,
so
but
hold on. I know he's gonna reach behind him here.
Yeah, soon. Yeah. Well, we had the Super Bowl recently. We talked about it. I've been in North America, living here now 16 years. Haven't got into American football.
Right. Even though you love sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the problem isn't me. The problem is the game. I mean, so I'm here to fix the game and improve it,
okay,
to make it a little bit more appealing to the international audience.
Okay.
Now, I've got two questions first. Tell me if this is both true. The quarterback, if he's running along and the defenders come at him, he can just run out of bounds and keep possession. Like, it's not a turnover. Is that true?
Yeah, yes. You run out of bounds, yeah.
Madness. Absolute madness. Okay. Another one. The quarterback, he's got the ball. Defense is coming at him. He can just throw it on the ground and he keeps possession.
He's got to be like out of the pocket. There are some what's the actual infraction?
There's some stipulations.
Yeah.
You might get an intentional grounding.
That's
if you're in the
I'm
pocket, who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a little deep, but for me, that's too obvious.
But they throw it away a lot of the
turnover,
times. Because they're gonna,
in no other sport is that not a turn. You can't just throw the ball away and keep possession. Imagine
true.
In basketball, you were dribbling and the trap came and you said, well, I'll just step out of bounds and then we get the ball again. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's a couple of problems there.
Yeah.
The other problem is the posts, right? You've got the post with a H. So sure. What I would do is I would take the H.
I think it's more of a yay.
Right. Well, I would take that out, right, and put it to the side, and then to even it out, I'd put another smaller one to the other side of it, right? So you've got now four posts instead of two. And instead of a rectangle, I'd make it an oval shape. Right.
Yeah, I see where you're
right. Right. And I wouldn't have no offense and no defense. Everyone who's out there has to play.
Yep.
Right.
Maybe make the shorts tighter.
Maybe make the shorts a little bit tighter. That's another thing.
Sleeveless
and then the
jerseys.
The last thing, I would actually make the ball a little less pointy. In fact, I've got a prototype.
Okay. Let's see it.
I would make the ball a little bit more like this.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a little rounder, a little softer.
Yeah.
Not quite as sharp and as pointy, not as dangerous.
I would make a bunch of the players Australian, too.
Not necessarily.
Oh, but 90% at least.
Not necessarily. I would change the name from National Football Game to the American Football League. So then, you know, this one's ready to go. So I just think, you know, a few little tweaks here and there.
What about this? At the Super Bowl, if they continue to call it that.
Yeah.
At halftime, line up the fastest guys in the league. Have a race.
That's
awesome one thing
idea.
The Super Bowl should actually do. The NFL should do.
Yeah.
That's what they do there in the NFL.
And Super Bowl, let's move. Let's call it the final. It's the final game. It's a grand finale. Yeah. Let's call it the grand final.
Sure.
Of the football.
Sure.
There you go.
All great ideas. Nice. Can't wait to kick that around in the studio with you later and break something.
Yeah, I haven't seen this before. It's actually nice. I forgot how not dangerous it is.
Well, that one's a good indoor one.
Yeah.
It's a lot softer. So.
Good Sherwin. Yeah. The kangaroo brand.
Players miss so many games falling on the points of the football.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
They really need to shave off the sides.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember what happened to the guy who got poked in the eye with a football?
Yeah.
Slinging that hog skin right into his eye? Bad stuff.
One-eyed Lily. Final one.
The NBA's 75 greatest players wore navy blazers with diamond patches to the ceremony in Cleveland. But as we've seen this week, they did indeed get custom Jeff Hamilton leather jackets honoring their time in the NBA. If you had Jeff on retainer stitching you some custom leathers, Skeets, what would you want on the sleeves?
Man, I was telling you guys all about Jeff Hamilton. I said these jackets existed, and as we saw,
right, buddy.
Everybody was getting them and putting them on. Why weren't they wearing them there on the weekend? No one knows. But what would I put on my custom leather from my man Jeff, my cool Jeff? I think, and I think, JD, you have a photo. There's that bobblehead of me that you use. I forget who created this for us.
Same. I think it was Stefan.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Stefan
Vasilev. Okay, well... There's this funny little photo of me and my big old head there. But what I like and what would be my custom patch would be that globe, the world, that is in the shape of, you know, a candy, in a candy wrapper, because it's good morning, sweet world. So I think I would take, I'd put that as like the logo there. It's sort of, you know, it's a circular logo with the little plastic little ties, I guess, if you want to call them that, on the end. So I'll go with that.
I love it. I think that's like a Lindor truffle. Is that what they're
called?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe the eyes are very good. Yeah.
I've never seen the Earth version.
Yeah, same. A lot chuckier.
Yeah.
A lot more dirt in it. JD, what are you getting on your leathers from Jeff?
Yeah, I didn't overthink this. I just made a list of all the places I worked because that's basically what it is. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Toronto Star, Globe and Mail, Bina Pharmacy, Bermuda Schwartz, that's a restaurant, the CN Tower, it was the world's tallest freestanding structure at the time, Ginsberg and Wong, that's a restaurant, Harrington Kilbride, that's a publishing house, Eastside Mario's, that's also a restaurant, yep. The Pink Palace, cheesy resort in Greece, Fast Eddie's, cheesy restaurant in Melbourne, Australia, the Hard Rock Cafe, Elephant Castle, that's a pub, Supersonics Productions, Dudley Scott Productions, those are sound audio houses. The Score, NBA TV, and The Athletic.
Wow.
Those are not all my jobs, but those are the jobs I... Actually, I did get fired from NBA TV and The Score. Okay. Well, anyways, I worked there for a significant amount of time, so... Yeah.
What? Did you say Bermuda Schwartz?
Yeah, that was a restaurant. It was a dishwasher there.
Wow.
Yeah. 80s. The 80s, man. It's crazy times.
And what was the vibe of that place? Like, people wearing... Literally Bermuda, wearing shorts?
Yeah, Hawaiian shirts and Bermuda shorts.
Cool.
And, not cool. Not
sounds
cool
like a place Jeff Hamilton would like.
Oh, he'd love it. Love it.
We got to get him on the show.
Yeah,
still.
Jeff parties, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Jeff fucks.
Leather's on, though. Lee, what are you putting on your leathers from,
yeah,
from Jeffrey?
I met this guy once on a beach in Spain somewhere, and he was getting a flag of every country that he'd been to tattooed on his back. And I was like,
wow. Sounds like my buddy Gresh would do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I was like, that's not a bad idea. And I was like, do I want to go down that path? I never did, but now this is the perfect opportunity.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, just put them all on the patches there so I could walk around to Gresh's house and just, you know, we can have a little pissing contest about which countries we've been to and stuff. And here you go, Gresh, check out these babies. You know, Gresh would come back with the tattoos and the jacket as well the next day. So.
Well, who's is he leading?
Yeah,
I think he's
Gresh
leading
has got
you.
Me. He's got me. Yeah, he's about 20 up on me. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah.
You got some work to do.
I know.
But has he been to Syria?
Probably. I don't think so.
I don't think he has.
So. There's one or two in there that we have. He hasn't been to one like Sweden or somewhere. Like
what a loser.
I know, no, but that's like... Cause he's
called yourself a traveler? You've never been to Sweden?
When he was living in Dubai, he's ticked off a lot of those countries down there, Oman and you know, Dubai for one. I haven't even been there. So he's got me there.
I got you there.
Yeah, I know. You got me there. I know. So,
right.
UAE.
Yes. Good point.
The good thing, though, is that when you get your Jeff Hamilton jacket, if you do your classic arms forward, everybody will see everywhere you've traveled to.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
And that's the pose you do when you're standing in front of a
exactly.
place.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
See my sleeves.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. That's rapid fire. That's the Drop Podcast. Again, it feels weird. I feel like I keep thinking this is Monday. We'll be here all week. But we came back to do the drop to end this week after a couple days off. If you haven't, highly recommend you check out either in podcast form or our YouTube shows of our top 75 guests of all time. Again, Tass and JD knocked this out of the park. We had a blast reminiscing. There were some great arguments about memories and how things went down. I forgot the hilarity of
and
that
Matt
one.
Matt even chimed in on
that. No, Matt's, it's great. It's great. So we think you'll like it. And it's really fun. I think I saw people commenting in the YouTube like comments like, I'm sort of new to the show. I only found out about the show in the last year or two. I didn't even know you guys... I didn't know you worked at Bermuda Schwartz, you know, and stuff like that. So, a trip down memory lane for all the longtime listeners and watchers. But for those new fans, you can see all the interactions we had with a bunch of, you know, WNBA players, NBA players, and a bunch of other random people, including the mayor of Flavortown.
Guy Fieri. He retweeted it, too.
I know, I did see that. Yeah. He retweeted or just like it?
Maybe it was a like,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Respect, nonetheless.
A little respect.
Send in your questions to No Dunks. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com to get all your emails in. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok at NoDunks Inc. Get yourself that athletic subscription. Go to TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. And finally, get yourself some NoDunks merch over at NoDunks.com. We will be back on Monday for our NBA weekend winners and losers. Can't wait to talk about James Harden's Sixers debut, which should be happening tonight. So we'll talk about all of that on Monday. We'll see you then. Clipper Rose.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, little known fact about Guy Fieri, he worked at Bermuda Schwartz. Maybe. No, he didn't. But whatever.
Brace the weekend, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.